Emails are not usually as carefully edited as documents are, even though we may send hundreds of emails each week. That's why WordRake founder Gary Kinder, a lawyer, writing teacher, and New York Times best-selling author, has just introduced WordRake for Outlook, a new software program which rakes through emails to make them clearer. Listen for more about the program and Gary's approach to writing that will make your writing effective and persuasive.
I have the pleasure today of talking with Gary Kinder, who is the founder and the CEO of a company that has created a product that I think is one of the outstanding products in the legal industry, and it is WordRake. Gary, welcome to our program today.
Thanks, Ed. It's good to be here.
Tell me, how is it that you decided to go in this direction? What were you doing before you got the idea to create this product?
This has been a long time coming. I've been teaching lawyers how to improve their writing for over 25 years. I traveled around the country doing open seminars and then teaching for the bigger firms like Jones Day and Wilmer Hale and Sidley and some of those firms. And over the years as I was teaching, I started recognizing patterns. I would teach lawyers how to get rid of words that were unnecessary. That was my real thrust. At least at that time, things have changed a little bit, but at that time, most lawyers wrote grammatically, so that was not something I had to bother with teaching. So my thrust was to look in sentences for words that had no meaning, because if a word has no meaning, obviously it offers nothing to the reader, but in addition to that, it gets in the way of the words that are trying to convey the meaning. So the point was to weed out these words, and as I was teaching lawyers how to do this, I noticed signs that existed in virtually all writing, not just legal writing, and they were things as simple as the little word of. Whenever you see an of, I don't know what the percentage would be, it depends on who you are as a writer, but I would guess that maybe anywhere from 20 to 50% of the time, you can get rid of some of the words around it.
Well, I know that's one of the things that Seinfeld talked about in his sitcom, was that he spent so much time reducing the number of words that he used in the program or in his monologue or wherever he was working, that the punchline was even funnier, it seemed.
Yeah, that is so true. And if the other thing is, if you have to put the punch word at the end of the punchline,
mm-hmm.
And in addition, if you get rid of all these other words, it makes it punchier, if you will.
Okay, so you saw this in your work amongst lawyers, and you developed a system to teach them more effectively? What happened?
I taught them, right, so they could be more efficient in their editing. They come back after they've written a draft or two, and now they're getting ready to make it a little tighter. And they're beyond the flow of the logic and the different issues they want to discuss and how they want to discuss them and their authority. And now they're getting ready to do some editing, and instead of just looking for ways they could make it better, or they've got 22 pages, they got to get under a 20-page limit, I taught them to go specifically for these signs, and it was the word in, the word it, the word of, the word as, and there are about a half a dozen more. But these words, for some reason, and I can't explain this, it's just a pattern that I noticed over a period of time, you spend your time most effectively and efficiently looking around these words for potential problems. As years went by, I developed this into a whole system, a method, if you will, and I applied for a patent in 2002 and was granted that patent on Christmas Day. I think it finally came through in 2007. And from that patent, we filed 5 more patents since then, and we now have 6 patents that have been granted in the United States. And those signs were the basis of creating algorithms so that we could actually, in a sentence, instead of telling you look for the word of, we can go in and tell you that these words are unnecessary in this context.
So in other words, your whole pattern then is to knock out the unnecessary words, not just look for the keywords next to which or around which those unnecessary words might exist.
Exactly. And we'll leave the good words. We'll leave the words that are conveying meaning. We'll just get rid of either the dull words that slow the reader or the extra words that are unnecessary. And it makes it a lot faster for a reader to come through and understand.
Well, sometimes lawyers have been accused of obfuscating the obvious. Your system really kind of gets to the kernel of it, so you can't pull the wool over anybody's eyes.
Well, not exactly. I think that you, if you want to obfuscate, there are sometimes times to do that. If you can get away with that and in a contract and the other side doesn't know or doesn't care, then that's just fine, and you've left things a little looser for your side.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that lawyers, that's a part of drafting, especially in contracts. If you're being a little vague in a brief, not always, but the clerk and the judge are going to catch you on it, and one way or another, it's going to work against you. So I don't advise people in writing briefs to purposely obfuscate. Usually when somebody does that, it's because they have a weak case, and what lawyers, for some reason, don't realize is that judges pick up on that real fast. They see such a cross-section of writing from so many lawyers that any kind of trick a lawyer wants to put into a brief has already tried to get through that judge 1,000 times, and they're very alert for that kind of stuff. So I think you should just write as straightforward as you can. If you have a weakness in your case instead of obfuscating and trying to write around it, it depends on, you have to be careful about which weakness you choose. It can't be a deciding weakness, but if you say, yeah, my client's not perfect, and then you mention something, all that does is get the judge right there in your hand believing everything you say because you're being forthright and honest about it. And this has nothing to do with editing unnecessary words. This is just an approach that I've taught for a long time to litigators.
Well, that's one of the things that President Obama in his United Nations speech said. He said, we're not perfect, a la Ferguson, but, and then he went on with the point he wanted to make, which was an interesting approach.
Yeah.
One of the key writing skills that I learned a number of years ago from a client of mine who I thought was one of the best brief writers I'd ever encountered was that she would take, if she had 5 points, for example, in a brief, she would take 1 point and write on it that day and then put it aside, come back the next day, edit that, and go on to point number 2, and so forth, so that by the time that her brief was due, either to her superior or to the court, wherever, she had given it the once over, but obviously more than once, review, and her writing was really good. Now, in your case, with the software especially, you go right to the heart of it. You don't have to use a system like that, correct?
This is true. I think of the WordRig software, which is available in Word and Outlook. That has been our latest launch, was making it available in Outlook. But the thrust of it, I think, is that it's a collaborative tool. It's like having a partner there to help you write a brief or a memo, anything important. And I envision it's late at night. You're working on that brief. It's got to be filed, by 9 o'clock in the morning or maybe by midnight. And you are so sick of looking at that brief. It's an important one, and you've been living with that brief. It's been living with you, perhaps the better way to say it, for sometimes months. And you're so tired of you're just tired. generally, but you're tired of looking at those words. You need some kind of an objective editor to come in and tell you how you could improve this. And unfortunately, your colleagues are either at home asleep or they're too busy also to come in and give you this some kind of feedback on it. And so you're kind of on your own. That's one of the great ironies is that in a law practice where you might have millions and millions, maybe billions of dollars writing on a brief, a lawyer writes it and nobody looks at it.
Yeah.
Although publishers, when their writers publish books, I know this from my experience publishing books, I've got two editors in New York who go over everything I do. So it's just as perfect as three professional people can get it. But you need that extra objective eye. And granted, this is electronic. It's a piece of software, and it's not perfect. And we're the first people to tell users that when you use WordRake, it will give you a correct edit about 90%, maybe a little higher of the time. But it's not going to be perfect. Once in a while, it's going to change the meaning of a sentence because you have to realize we're dealing with 225,000 English words that can arrive in all kinds of permutations. And so they're literally approaching infinity, a number of different things that we have to look for and we're capable of doing. And sometimes when it slightly changes the meaning of a sentence, I've had a lot of lawyers tell me this. It directs their attention to that clause or that phrase in the sentence, and it enables them to see what the software was trying to do and then make the change themselves, or it actually points out something else that they did not see. Even though WordRake was off just a little bit, it focused them in that direction so they could make that change. So, but it also, it will see hundreds of things in the average brief that you're just too tired or too close to see.
Well, Gary, one of the things, if I'm understanding correctly, that you did was that you started this and developed it for Word. Is that correct?
Right.
Why was it you did not do this for WordPerfect? Is it your perception that perhaps WordPerfect is not so important in today's world?
It was strictly a business decision, and that it wasn't mine, actually. I don't remember having long discussions about it. I think it was pretty obvious early on that although WordPerfect not only is used by a small percentage of lawyers, they are diehard and dedicated to WordPerfect. Boy, they love that, and they hate Microsoft Word. And we've had a few people, you know, write to us, when are you going to make this ready for WordPerfect? But then, honestly, the engineering effort involved in that, it just couldn't, you know, to be practical.
Right.
It just wouldn't pay for itself.
Well, one of the tricks that I just learned yesterday, as a matter of fact, was to write it in WordPerfect. I will admit I am one of those diehard people. I just think WordPerfect is a far superior word processing program than Word, and the learning curve for me for Word just wasn't worth the effort. But to work in your normal program, in my case WordPerfect, and then cut and paste and put it into Word, and then let WordRake do its thing. Is that a technique that will work with your program?
It should work. I've never tried that, but anything that you put into Word should work just fine.
Okay, so now if I'm understanding correctly, you've got the program for Word, but that's all. I say that's all with quotes around it, okay? I don't mean it in a negative fashion. But that's all you've got. It's WD-40, okay? You're ruling the world in your environment. But now you've created WordRake for Outlook and emails, other emails as well. Is that right?
Right. In Outlook email, yes.
Okay, so that's a new feature for WordRake, and it's sort of a new program, however you characterize it, that has just recently come to the fore. Is that correct?
We launched WordRake for Outlook about, I'm trying to remember now, 2 weeks ago, two to 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And it's a standalone product. It's available. You can bundle it with Word, and that gives you, of course, a nice discount. Or you can just buy it separately. If all you do mainly is emails, then some people will want just the Outlook. But it's available, and it has exactly the same functionality.
Is there some mechanism or some way of, I think the word you used was bundling, the program, and I think of bundling in two contexts. One in terms of price, and that's not what I mean. And the other is in terms of features that you can install it on the computer all in one fell swoop. Does that work, or it's really two separate programs to be installed separately?
It's two separate programs, and as I understand it, each is installed separately, but it takes literally 2 or 3 minutes to install it.
What's the difference in the programs, if any? I mean, is email, is the approach to email different than the approach to word processing?
No, I write the writing tips from WordBreak once a week, and the tip that came out today talks about email, and we'll be talking about email for the next 3 weeks after this. It is a different vocabulary that we use in email, and I explain this in the writing tip for today. And But as far as WordRake is concerned, WordRake will still come in and find the, let's just be kind about it, the untight, the not-so-concise writing that we put even more of into our emails. I think that there's the main difference is that when we write in Word, we write on for paper, we write with a lot more precision.
Mm-hmm.
And we think with more precision. In an email, it's been called chatter.
Yeah, more vocal.
Yeah, it's just like chattering. So it's kind of, we each have three distinct vocabularies. We have our reading vocabulary, comprehension vocabulary, which is by far the largest. We have our writing vocabulary, which lies in the middle. And then we have our speaking vocabulary, which is by far the least grammatical. And the least precise. And so they've kind of identified, some research I did on this, studies have identified emails as being kind of between speaking and writing. It's not totally in the writing category, but it's not totally in the speaking category. It's similar to writing in some ways, similar to speaking in other ways, but it really is a sort of a fourth language we all have.
Well, I guess a combined question I would ask of you is, what was your motivation for moving from the written page of a word processing program to the vocal page in an email? And how does the product work differently?
Well, we launched 2 years ago in June. And with WordRake software, and then for Word, and then we launched WordRake 2 this last May. So we'd been out for about 2 years, and in that 2-year period, the number one question people asked was, when are you going to make this available for Outlook? So we'd been working on that for quite some time. That had been, you know, on the wall in the war room with the engineers. And we finally, got that up and running, and it, I guess, you know, it works perfectly. And the main difference in the two, they'll give you, each will give you the same edits. If somebody sends you an email and you reply to it and then you rake it, if we don't control the rake to just your email, It would edit the person who sent you the email in the first place, and that would send the wrong signal, Brad, to people. They don't have a sense of humor.
Okay.
So we have it stop. It stops right after it. Excuse me. After it, you finish your reply.
So when you do your reply, then you got to click on the icon for Word Rake, and yeah. then it will take care of only your new edition.
Right.
Well, what are some of the more frequent editing mistakes that lawyers make in their emails, other than not being very careful and other than hitting reply before you've really reviewed it carefully?
That's going to be in my writing tip next week, is how to handle the two line and the CC line and the BCC line. Those are things we have to be very careful with, and we do get a little sloppy with it. But I think, first of all, they will write. I think that email reads often, not every time, but often like a rough draft that we would write on paper or for paper in Word. And we are much less likely to go over it. And something else I advise people, I made a really funny mistake this morning. I sent an email to our CEO, Jim Fiegel, at WordRake. And there was, I had changed part of the sentence, but I didn't change the rest of it that needed to be changed to fit with the new change. And so it came out as a very funny double negative. And so he was very quick to point that out. So my mantra has always been proofread, proofread, proofread. You can't send an email out until you read it one more time to make sure it's perfect. Fortunately, it just went to him. But because we don't proofread, we have a lot of just bloated language. It's typical in Word. That's going to be the bulk of it that WordRake is going to help you clean up. And again, in doing that, it acts as a collaborative tool so that it just jump-starts that editing process. It gets you thinking about thinking. It gets you thinking about how could I say this better, and it assists you. Otherwise, you can sit there, especially if something you've written more than once, you just sit there and stare at it because you don't know where to begin. And WordRake knows exactly where to begin, and it never gets tired of looking at those same words over and over again.
That might also help you think about it before you hit the send button.
Yeah, that's part of the goal. And I'll tell you and your audience a little secret that I've learned. I haven't heard this anywhere. I don't know if I made it up, or probably a lot of people do it. But I never fill out the two line until I finish the email.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
There's no way I can accidentally hit the send button. If I do, it doesn't go anywhere. But the problem is when you open an email, a new one, to send something out, it automatically puts your cursor in the to box. So you automatically, populate that with the address of the recipient. And we do this without thinking about it. But I'm encouraging people not to do that until they've finished. Very easy to do it after you finish, but you don't have to worry about that send button. And the other thing is, if you have the WordRake editing software and you run it through so it does that proofreading for you and get you started on editing, and when I say started, the whole thing takes seconds. WordRake will rake 8.5 by 11 pages in 30 seconds. So an email that's maybe a couple paragraphs, it would go through that in like 10 seconds. And then you can very quickly choose the changes you like, make some other changes. And then when you hit the send button, you have a lot more confidence that what you just sent is as good as you can make it within the time you've got.
And then you don't have to make the changes that Rake suggests.
You can always reject them. We have an accept button and a reject button, and we will never have an accept all button because we don't want people to get to where they just rely on WordRake to be perfect every time. As I said, we're going to get it right over 90% of the time, but there are going to be a few that you're going to want to look at them. And other times, WordRake is the word in we'll get rid of the word indeed. And some people, litigators, just love to put indeed four or five times in every brief, followed by a comma. Indeed, defendant failed to.
Right.
And so it might be an accurate edit to get rid of that, and it is. But you might want to reject it because you like the word indeed. So, but it's a very fast process.
Well, Gary, let me ask you one last question, and that is, with Rake on board for two versions now for word processing and the new version for Outlook, what future plans do you have for Rake's technology? Or are you like Microsoft and Apple, just not willing to share the future?
Well, there are some things I would love to share with you, but the engineers would shoot me.
It's sort of like, if I tell you, I have to kill you.
Right, exactly. Let me just say that the engineers' war room is filled with wonderful projects in the future. We are growing so fast, and offering enterprise, for instance, retail sales with Outlook have gone extremely well, much better than we had projected, and for Word as well, and also with the bundles. At least half of the people are bundling the two. And so we've got a lot of projects that we're funding right now. And actually, we're nursing several of them forward, and then as one ends up gaining a little more momentum than others, we'll push ahead with that one. But we're going to be putting out a lot of new products and variations of current products in the very near future.
Well, that's good to hear. I think when I saw the program at the bar exhibit, wherever it was when you first came to market, I said that was one of the best products I've ever seen. It's just, it's easy to use. It needs to be used. And the only product that I can think that also needs to be created, yet to be done in a way that I have seen anyway, and that's the search capability of your hard drive within seconds and at a low cost for the solo and small firm practitioner. But in terms of what we actually do, I mean, we're supposed to be wordsmiths, and we're supposed to be really good at what we do, and whether it be the word indeed or otherwise, we get all twisted up, and Drake really helps us keep our thoughts clear and our presentations clear. And my congratulations to you.
Well, Ed, I really appreciate that. That is, especially from you, that's high praise coming from somebody who studies these things as much as you do. And I tell you what I'm really delighted about, we've now been out long enough that looking at renewals, if somebody renews, and then we know they like the product, and we have Enterprise has been something our engineers worked on and got that out, and we have a lot of enterprise, big firms like Littler Mendelson and Ogletree Deacons and the Post Office, U.S. Postal Service, and FedEx, and California Department of Transportation. We have a lot of big clients who are enterprise clients, and every single one of these, and I've talked to a few of them myself, have said that the installation has been absolutely the smoothest they've ever seen, and every single enterprise customer has renewed. And it's that's gratifying for me. That's just proof that we're on the right track.
Well, let me add one other thing for your information, because I doubt if this has gotten to you. I would be very surprised. And something for the benefit of our listeners, and that is, while you may think that the installation is super easy, some Luddites like myself find some of the instructions to be less than obvious. But one of the things that you all have done is you have made a support service available where somebody like me can be walked through the process. And that support, and it's, sometimes it's just like computer chat, sometimes it's actually picking up the phone, sometimes it's taking over the computer with Log Me In or a similar program. however that is, that support takes any product, even if it's a good product, to the highest level. And my congratulations to you and your people for having that available.
Well, I will certainly pass that along. That again, is high praise, and they love to hear that. So thank you.
But Gary, thank you for joining us, and congratulations again on both good quality of product as well as service. And I look forward to your new adventures.
Thanks, Ed. It's nice talking with you again.
Take care.
You have been listening to a LawBiz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. You can read more about this and other topics from the business of law at www.lawbizblog.com, or start your own discussion about this topic at www.lawbizforum.com. Join today. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about LawBiz podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.